Welcome, everybody. Let me help you envision, explore, and execute your plans. This is Motivate Me, and I'm Lynette Renda. If you need motivation to keep your passion in your life at all costs, then you need to meet Becky Fine Fire Sheets. Before we get started today, I just want to make sure you know you can go to motivatemepodcast.com, and there you're going to find our show notes, links to all of the resources mentioned. You'll find an application to be on the show. You'll have access to our email, and we can direct you to the Motivate Me Ultimate Support System Facebook page, because nothing matters more to me than to connect with my listeners. So I hope I can do that starting right now. Ladies and gentlemen, on today's show, we have Becky Fine Fire Sheets. Becky is actually from Kentucky, but she's been living in New York City for almost 10 years now. She is an English as a second language instructor in the city. She's also a mom of the cutest little peanut, and she is a writer and also a musician. So first, Becky, welcome to the show.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Now, I know you are a serious writer, and I know it was difficult for you to decide on a quote to share with us today. But I think after our pre-chat discussion, you came up with one that really kind of sums up how you feel about what we'll be discussing on today's show. So can you share that with everybody?
Yeah, this is a quote by Thich Nhat Hanh. We have more possibilities available in each moment than we realize.
How do you connect to that?
I connect to that because I think I have a lot of different things going on in my life, and sometimes it can feel chaotic or overwhelming, or like I can't get to each one of them, and I get very focused on this thing or that thing. And sometimes it's nice to just stop and breathe and think, you know, there are more possibilities, there are more opportunities than I realize. I don't need to get stuck or worried or overwhelmed. There's so much possibility.
Now, I know that you're somebody who's also very aware of mindfulness and living in the present and things like that. And one of the things we do talk a lot about on the show is, you know, I've said a couple times how whenever I try to like wrestle something down to the ground or super control it or be super engaged, I'm not being any more successful than when I completely let go. And I think that's kind of what you're talking about here too.
Oh yeah, definitely. I think that I really plan things out for myself and try to, you know, achieve these goals and have these things that I'm doing, which is a great motivation, but can be overwhelming when you are just trying too hard, you know? So I think it is really important to just let go of all these plans, all these different things, and just kind of really focus on what I am doing right now and what is happening, like sensory, you know, like to really be in it.
So tell everybody what your passion is.
My passion is kind of a combination of things. I was running with my husband a concert series for a long time called Read It in Rhythm, where we combine performances by bands with performances by readers. So we have a reader give, you know, read a poem or a short story or a piece of creative nonfiction, and then a band play afterwards. And my husband and I were kind of like the MCs. We kept the show flowing, and we also organized and put it all together.
Well, I know that was really successful, and it was a lot of work. And then how did your life change after that?
Yeah, and then I had a baby. So my life changed dramatically. I think I began to realize when I was pregnant and very exhausted that running that kind of show was not going to be much of a possibility for me once the baby arrived, that putting together that many performers and being an MC for a four-hour event and negotiating with venues, that all the work that went into it was going to be too much. So it was exciting that we had these people come out and we had, you know, people interested in playing and we had a website, but we just, you know, realized that this isn't something we can continue at this capacity. And then when we had the baby, we realized for the next 3 months, we can't continue much of anything at this capacity. So it was definitely an interesting, amazing, but interesting transition.
What did you love most about doing the shows?
Yeah, so there were a few things. I mean, I loved that other people were also so interested in and excited by this intersection between music and literature, and that celebrating this connection between artists was helping to build this community. So that was definitely the main motivation for me, and it was really rewarding to see other people in the audience talking with one another, with strangers, about their art and about their creative processes. It was also really fun for me to perform. You know, it was a long process for me to become comfortable with that and to actually enjoy that because of my own anxiety. So it was nice that ended up becoming a highlight for me, because in the beginning, performing was not a highlight for me.
And when you say performing, what were you doing?
I would give readings. I would read from my own work. And then mainly my husband and I played together in a band where I play keyboard and sing or read poetry or, you know, soliloquize in some way. And he's a drummer. So we do this strange duo together.
That must have been super fun to create together, though.
Most definitely, because he's been a drummer since he was 12 years old and has been in different bands, but he'd never been in a band with spoken word and with a focus on the message or the story. And I grew up playing music, but then stopped playing when I was 16 or 17 because of the performance anxiety. So I came back to it through my husband because of his love for music, and he encouraged me, and I finally started playing again, but only on my own at home. So it was really interesting because he saw this entire process of me returning to music, you know, years before I was actually sharing what I was doing with other people. So we created this whole thing, you know, together in our home, which was really, really fun and special.
That is amazing. I love it. And so tell everybody, though, you fell in love with mixing literature and music. You put together the shows. Over time, you overcame your own insecurities. And then you were loving all of this. And then little Lou came along.
And then little Lou came along, yes.
And so what do you do? Because the bottom line is, I know that I have listeners right now listening saying, I have kids. I can't worry about my passions. Okay, Lynette, I can't fit them in. I don't have time for that. And what are you doing? Show them how you're doing it.
Yeah. So a big thing for me was realizing that I couldn't continue all these things at the capacity that I had continued them. So I sat and actually wrote out a list of what, you know, I think he was 2 months old. And I wrote a list of what about my old life do I really miss? And then I was able to look at this list and say, okay, what things are just naturally going to change as he gets older and is more independent? And what things are never going to change because he needs me or I need to put more time into him now, you know? So one of the things that I realized wasn't going to change anytime soon was that I just didn't have the time to put together these huge shows anymore. So I didn't want to give them up. So instead of just saying, well, I don't have the time for that, or I can't make this happen anymore, I thought, well, in what capacity can I make this happen? So my husband and I were able to say, okay, we can't practice once a week anymore, but we can, you know, have a babysitter come once every 2 weeks so we can at least get some time in. And there are things that I can do on my own when my husband has the baby and vice versa. So we're kind of looking at putting together these shows where we just have a couple of people read and then Dave and I perform. So it's only, you know, an hour and a half or 2 hours as opposed to these long shows with four or five different acts that we're emceeing. So I think in general it was just really looking at what things do I need to still have in my life in order to be a happy, fulfilled person and therefore a better mother. And no, I don't have the opportunity to sit and write 8 hours anymore, but okay, I can get 2 hours to work on this thing while Day's with the baby, or even the baby's napping. So what can I do for these 45 minutes, you know? So it's just kind of looking at the little snippets of time and then figuring out how to make it work and not trying to cling to it has to be like it was before or it can't be at all.
Right. You're scaling it down.
Yeah, definitely.
And you know, something I think that's really great that you're talking about, Becky, is that you're being an awesome role model for your son, because if you continue to keep these passions into your life that you love so much, he's going to really probably grow a very strong respect for women just because you're an equal and what you want to do creatively and with your time, performance-wise, writing-wise, whatever it is that you want to do, it's just going to teach him respect, I feel.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. I feel like we see a lot of couples in which the mother, you know, I'm talking about like, you know, a male and female couple out of people who I've seen, the mother tends to give up more. She'll not work as much, or she'll stop working completely, or she, you know, will work and then not make the time to pursue her passions after work. So I think that it is really nice for Lewis to grow up seeing that both Dave and I are making time for things that we need for ourselves individually and that we're helping one another to find this time. I think seeing that kind of shared responsibility will definitely help him learn this respect for women and for equality. That's a great point.
Absolutely. And for the arts as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's also, you know, it's so important to us. And I had music around me always since I can remember. My mom loved music and played records, and she played piano and she sang to us, and we just grew up. My aunt played piano, so she taught us how to play, and I just grew up with music around me and books and being read to, and I really want that for him. And I feel like I also want Lewis to see that it's a possibility to not just enjoy these things, but to make these things and to follow that part of yourself if he has that passion.
Now, what kind of hesitations and challenges are you finding?
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm exhausted. That's definitely a huge one. The idea
Well, I'll tell you something, though. You'd be exhausted anyway.
Well, right. Yes. That is
true. Year one is just labeled exhaustion.
Yeah. I mean, having a young baby, of course. Yeah, exactly. Anyone is going to be exhausted. So it's tempting when he's taking a 45-minute nap to just lie down or watch a TV show or something. And sometimes that is what I need to do. So I think a challenge for me is finding that balance, like not pushing myself too much. Recognizing, okay, you are very tired or you need to rest or you wouldn't be able to write something that excellent right now because of where your brain is at. So just take this moment to sit down and relax. So I think that finding that balance is a huge challenge, recognizing when I need to push myself to get something done versus when I need to let it go and just take this moment to relax or go to bed early or take a little nap.
What do you think you've learned about yourself through all of this?
Yeah, I've learned that I'm really, really busy, that I really like to do things and be active, and that's good, but that it's easy for me to not give myself the rest that I need, so that I need to keep in the forefront of my brain. I need to keep self-care in the forefront of my brain. That obviously writing and making music and putting these shows together is a big part of what makes me a happy person, but it can't come at the expense of getting enough sleep or eating well or giving myself a moment to just let my brain relax, which we need also. We can't just be going all the time.
And this is a big transition time for you with your first baby. And how old is Lewis now?
He's 9 months now. And I feel like the minute we think we have it figured out, something changes.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's always a transition time. I didn't realize that when I was pregnant. You know, I went through all of this effort to get all the stuff we needed and get, you know, things set up and try really hard to have everything in place with my work and, you know, just all this stuff lined up. And then as soon as something get settled, something new happens. So it's just constantly a transition. It's not just like, you know, you have the baby, that's an enormous transition, but it's like every few months, now he's crawling, now he's pulling up on his feet and walking while holding on to things. Now he needs to eat this kind of food. Now he needs to have this kind of toy. So it's just a constant transition. And I think just being okay with that, like not getting anxious or worried about what's coming next or am I doing this right, but just kind of knowing that something new is going to be thrown at you on a regular basis, and that's okay.
Yeah. Okay. So is there a book that you can recommend to my audience that could kind of inspire them in this direction?
Yeah. So, I mean, there are a few things that I have read that have particularly helped me. I mean, I mentioned Thich Nhat Hanh was the quote that I used. He's a Buddhist monk who I found really, really helpful before and after Lewis. And he has this book called Planting Seeds, Practicing Mindfulness with Children. And even if you're not into practicing mindfulness or the idea of meditating, I think this is still a really wonderful book for people who are, for parents or people who work with children, because it just teaches you this act of slowing down, being in the moment, and seeing these possibilities that you have in that moment.
And you know what's so important about that is if you feel that you are being in the moment and you're being present with your child, and you know that you logged in some quality time with your child, that's like decluttering your mind all on its own, because now you feel good about allowing yourself to have some time to yourself.
Oh, definitely. It makes a huge difference. We know a lot of parents, including myself, feel this sense of guilt. I'm doing this, you know, thing instead of being home with my baby, or I have a babysitter putting my baby down tonight so that I can go out to this concert. And, you know, I think I've really been able to not give that guilt any power, because I don't think it's productive. And I know that I need these certain things for myself. And also, like you said, because I put energy into being present with him when I am with him, to making him laugh and playing with him and reading to him. And, you know, for all of us, the phone is such a horrible distraction. And I find myself sometimes checking my email on my phone when I'm with him and, you know, just putting the phone away and just looking at him and watching him is so rewarding. And then when I do have that time where I'm not with him because I'm writing or I'm working on a song, it really does make it feel more okay to take that time for myself.
Well, and I believe with those people who say that when children have time away from their parents, whether it's in a babysitting situation or preschool, they learn to become more independent. And I am in full support of that.
Yes, he's in a phase right now where he's started to be clingy to me. And if I'm in the room, he whines for me. And, you know, that's a very typical, I think, like 8-9 months is right, the average range to start that. And you can tell even if I'd go to a different room, he's now laughing and playing with whoever is with him. And I've heard from babysitters that he's just a delight and so sweet and fun when they're home with him. And I think the kids need to have relationships with other adults and
yes,
other children, and they need
right,
to feel safe, you know, and with other people. So if I'm around, he's just going to be trying to get to me. And he doesn't always need that.
Okay, so this part of our show is the Motivate Me Express to Success, because I believe in order for anybody to take steps in a different direction, they need to first envision it for themselves and then explore what it would take and then execute a plan. So, you know, a baby step, pun intended. So, so in this case, I think that we can just relate this to parents in general of small children, men, women, moms, dads. If they want to incorporate a passion into their lives, what should they envision for themselves first?
So I think first they need to envision exactly what that looks like, because our time as parents is so limited. So you need to have a clear focus of what you need and what you want to do with this time you need. So specifically, I need to play basketball with my friends for an hour, or I need 45 minutes to read a chapter of a book, or I need an hour and a half twice a week to go to a dance class. But I think having like this very clear, what do I need and how much time does that take in my head, in your head, is what is essential, because it's hard to make that happen if you're not sure exactly what you need. And our lives are so scheduled as parents.
Right. Okay. So then to explore.
I mean, for me, I love being in Brooklyn because it's so much going on around you. But anybody can talk to their neighbors or look on the internet and find, where is this class? Or, you know, where can I go? Is there a coffee shop in my neighborhood? Or is there another family who also wants to do this, so maybe we can do some kind of swap and they can have time while I watch the kids and vice versa. But I think the best way to explore is to find other people, whether it's online or in your direct community, who are also looking to make time for themselves while parenting. Because even if you are looking to make time for different reasons, having that kind of connection will really give you support and motivation.
Okay, so to execute.
And then to execute, this is the hardest step. I think, you know, as parents, the first thing you have to take care of is who's going to be with my child. So can your partner help you? Can a family member help you? Can you do what you need to do while the child is napping or when the child is asleep? But be realistic about that. Sometimes I say, I'm going to do this when he goes to bed, and then it's 8 o'clock and I'm too exhausted to do anything. So the first step in executing something is to find people who can help you with your child, who are willing to support you in this.
I love it. I love it. So, closing advice for everybody.
I think the best advice I've received since being a parent was from a teacher at a retreat, like a day retreat I went to, who said, you need to work on embracing the chaos. Your life is not going to be this perfectly organized, planned, relaxing, easy to be in the moment. Sometimes you are going to be forced to do three things at the same time. Sometimes you will only have 30 minutes to write and you're going to feel busy and active because of everything that just happened. But instead of feeling like that makes me tense or that makes me anxious, to just embrace it. Life is really busy right now. There's a lot on my brain right now, and that doesn't have to feel crazy making or anxious making. That can just be what it is. I can just accept that. And then I feel like that acceptance has allowed me to relax my body or to regain my focus, even if there's a lot going on around me.
And on top of it, how many dogs do you have?
Oh, and I have two dogs and two cats.
Right. So, I mean, on top of it, you have to walk animals how many times a day in Brooklyn?
Yeah. I mean, we give the dogs like two good walks a day. We're lucky in that we have a little courtyard in our apartment building that we can let them out in. But it's at least two good walks a day, plus feeding them, and you can come home and there's a lot of activity. Everybody comes to greet you.
And I mean, the apartment's in Brooklyn.
Yeah. there's also that. I mean, we're lucky. Ours is a little big by Brooklyn standards, but when anyone comes from Kentucky, they like laugh at us when we say it's kind of big.
Becky, it was so great to talk to you. Let's give everybody your contact information in case they'd like to reach out to you. Now, I'm going to make you a part of our private group on Facebook, which is Motivate Me Ultimate Support System. But how can people reach out to you? And the name of your band is the Brooklyn Players Reading Society.
Yes.
And that's you and David, correct?
Yeah, that's me and my husband. We wanted a name that would highlight the fact that we try to tell stories and focus on the words. So the Brooklyn Players Reading Society is on Facebook, and I am on Twitter at Becky Fine Firesheets at Readin' in Rhythm, and then I also have a blog, BeckyFineFiresheets.com.
Okay, that's awesome. Thank you so much for coming on the show. I really hope that parents, you were listening to what Becky was saying, and yes, she's tired. However, I think that what you hear more than anything is just a kind of joy that she keeps this in her life while experiencing every day with this little ball of scrumptiousness.
Yes, thank you so much for having me. I definitely hope that my experience can help other people. And I'd love to connect to other parents who are trying to figure it out also.
Good. Well, I hope they reach out to you. And I think, you know, super inspirational that you're keeping yourself as part of your person. Mom, being a mom is so important. It is the most amazing feeling in the world. It's the most amazing thing you can be. And forever it is. And at the same time, though, you offer your children more when you are full, when you have your own likes and personalities and gifts and talents that you explore. So I don't think that people can do that enough, especially when they incorporate their children in whatever it is that they're doing.
Yeah, we look forward to having him come watch us perform one day. You know, we take him out to daytime shows and think it's really exciting to share this with him.
It's only a period of time before Lewis is part of the duo becomes a trio.
Before it's a real family band.
Yeah, exactly. So thank you so much. Listeners, this is the end of the show, and this is where we give you a go do. So Becky, what do you think they should go do right now?
I think right now they should go just for 5 minutes, engage in some kind of activity that they find personally satisfying and enjoying, whether it be a little bit of reading a book or some kind of dance to a song on the radio, whatever you love doing, go do that for 5 minutes.
I like it. Listeners, take care of yourself today, okay? Remember, you motivate me. I'm Lynette Renda. And as a special bonus, it's the Brooklyn Players Reading Society, Becky Fine Firesheets and her husband David Fine Firesheets.